Pastor Nathan. Good morning, New Life Church. Today I want to share some of my faith journey with you. And I was thinking about where to start, and I could tell you about how I grew up in a Christian home. I believed in God ever since I could remember. God seemed distant to me, but I had seen him answer prayer, sometimes in surprising ways. And I thought, oh, this is going to be way too long, so I'm going to start a few years back. And for me, that's when I really started to get uncomfortable, actually, in my faith walk. And I wrestled with big questions. So I wondered where God was in the face of difficult circumstances and tragedies. And a lot of this started with a few months after my son was born, my nephew, Beckett, passed away in the womb at 40 weeks. And we learned on his due date. And it was just heartbreaking. And I thought, God, where are you in this? And I just wondered how something so hard could it be part of God's plan? And I questioned. I'm like, do I still believe God is faithful and true and just and loving in the midst of all of it? And I honestly couldn't answer that question then. And I also became somewhat disillusioned in my faith. I realized that if I really believed that what the Bible said was true, then what was I doing with my life? Here I was so caught up in the day-to-day concerns of life and often driven by my own fears and insecurities. And I was wondering, isn't there more to this? Shouldn't I be like, just my whole life shouldn't be shaped around the fact that this is only this life, but I'm going to spend eternity with God? And shouldn't I be seeking him with my whole heart? And at the same time, I realized that God was calling me to so much more in my faith, not just to give out small amounts of my time and money and resources when I felt like it, effectively staying in control of my life and remaining Lord of my life, but that the call of Jesus, it's all encompassing, and he asked for my life. Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And I struggled with the immensity of what God was calling me to. My whole life, honestly, it seemed overwhelming, and I wasn't sure I could give up control of my life, especially to a God it seemed I hardly knew. I said, God, I think you're real, but I have these doubts. I need to know, like, if you're calling me to this my whole life, I need to know without a doubt that you are faithful and good. And I came to the realization that I only gave God a little of my life because, quite frankly, I only trusted in God a little. This actually started a shift in my life where I began to seek God more on a daily basis. And I prayed that he would show me his grace and his love so that I might be changed by encountering him. Then one Saturday, this past October, I woke up early to my daughter Amira crying in her crib. I went to her room and I was cuddling her and rocking her to get her to go back to sleep. And suddenly I was struck by the thought that if I could just sum up all of life's uncertainties and questions, it would be two big questions. Who are you, God, and who am I? And then I thought, that's weird, because I'm like half awake and I'm going to go back to bed now. And then I journaled about it later in the day. And then the next day, Sunday, I came to church and Pastor Nathan was preaching on Moses and the burning bush. And you can probably guess or remember that he mentioned two questions in his sermon. And they were, who are you, God, and who am I? And I was like sitting in church like, what is going on? Did Pastor Nathan read my diary? Yeah, no, I was like, this is God, right? This is not a coincidence. And I was very moved that God was reaching out to me right in the midst of where I was, with all my doubts and uncertainties. And at the same time, I was really quite perplexed because the topic of the sermon was on how God is unknowable and we can't totally fathom who God is. He says, I am who I am. And I was like, really, God? I've never had anything like this. Here you are reaching out to me and you give me a sermon on how you're unknowable. Like, what am I to do with this? And in hindsight, I think God just has a sense of humor with how he orchestrates things sometimes. As I reflected upon this, I thought about how even though God is unknowable and I will never totally understand his ways, he has also revealed his son and told us his name, Jesus, Jesus, the grace of God revealed. And I felt encouraged in my heart that I should seek not to just know of Jesus, but seek to know Jesus himself. And by this I mean that growing up in a Christian home and going to church, I knew a lot about Jesus. Like if you would give me a test of all the stories typically covered in Sunday school, I'd actually probably do pretty good. But despite all this head knowledge, I didn't have a heart for God and I had much of a relationship with Jesus himself. So in the end, I felt encouraged to seek to know Jesus. Yet I still struggle to give God control of my life. Then one night this past November, we were having Bible study with our small group, and I was praying out loud, and I was saying one thing, and suddenly I was just struck with like this deep repentance. It was like in this moment, God just broke down these last barriers in my heart, and I prayed, God, I am sorry. Forgive me for holding on to my life so tightly. I give you my life, and I meant it with my whole heart. And in the days that followed, God showed me the sin in my life, and I repented of pride and bitterness and anger that had been lodged in my heart. And it was in repentance that I sensed the beauty and love of God surrounding me like I had never experienced before. I remember saying, I didn't know it could be this beautiful. It was like I was standing in a river of God's grace, the current of his love surrounding me. And I just threw myself in, surrendered myself. I said, okay, God, have your way. And I experienced this greater freedom in Christ. But there is an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wasn't going to just stop fighting and let me get away with my newfound freedom. I did become more aware of the spiritual warfare that I was facing, though. There was one week this past November where I felt called to pray over everyone in my family and over the bedrooms of my home. I kept coming back to my son Isaac's room, though, as I felt the sense of unease when I would go in there and the presence of something dark, something evil that should not be there. I knew I had no power of my own, but I called upon the name of Jesus. I prayed that our home would be filled with God's Spirit, that there would be nothing evil, and that God would fight for us. I prayed for 6 nights, and on the 6th night, everything changed. I woke up suddenly to a great roaring wind that completely surrounded me, and I was powerless in the face of this wind. I could not move. I could not open my eyes. And I called out. I don't think I could move my mouth, but it was like it came from the depths of my soul. And I cried out, Jesus, 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 because I was in the presence of God. And that's it. I mean, I can't even put words to this. Like, it is an incredible and like awe-inspiring and wonderful thing all at once. And then I was made aware of a battle in Isaac's room. I could not go there. I couldn't move. And it was very quick. Then the wind left me, and it was silent for a moment, and then I heard a yelp in the hallway. It reminded me of a sound like a dog would make if it was trying to attack someone, and it got kicked, and it had to run. And I thought, that thing is running, and I felt no fear and completely at peace. And I believe it was Satan or someone from Satan's army. The thing is, Satan, he has no power in the presence of the living God, and he has to flee. Amen? And realizing that the enemy has no power and that God fights for me and that he fights for the people of God, there is freedom in that. And the next day, Sunday morning, I came to church, and Fred was leading worship, and I walk in, and he's singing the Lion and the Lamb song we sang this morning. Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. I was just completely overcome. Like, I bowed down in my seat and just, wow, God, you have done this for me. And in the past, I've been so guilty of just singing the words on, you know, the overhead because they're up there, but I didn't really believe them sometimes. And I just thought, this is so real. This is not just a song. I have lived this. And there's more to what happened Saturday night. Later that night, my husband Patrick awoke with a vision from God. In his vision, Patrick saw a pitcher filled with liquid, and God asked him, "What should be poured from this vessel?" Patrick's response was, "God's love." Then there was the question of where should it be poured, and Patrick saw the pitcher pouring into another pitcher. It filled up and went over the sides. It was overflowing. He was then taken further back, and he saw many pitchers being poured into other pitchers. Then he realized that they were not only overflowing from the top, but through holes and cracks in the bottom and sides of the pitchers. And he was surprised that God's love was not only flowing from the top, but through the cracks in the broken pitchers themselves. And there were many more pitchers that he could not see. This was for many, many people. What a beautiful vision this is of God pouring out his love. I don't know exactly what it means for New Life Church, but God is doing something here and beyond. And I believe that we will see an outpouring of God's love. And my heart waits expectantly to see the great things that God has in store. And for both of us to experience God on that same night was so unifying. And I thought, wow, surely God was in this place. My heart has been so changed by all of this, and at the end of 2018, God put a verse on my heart that speaks to the new thing he is doing in my life. Galatians 2, verse 20, this is the NLT version, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." At the end of last year, I said to Patrick, "I don't have a typical New Year's resolution for 2019, but I feel called to live by this verse. I mean, I could live my whole life by this verse, but for me, it has particular significance for this year, for 2019. And I believe that God is calling me to a deeper trust in him, to trust him no matter what this year brings, to put my trust in him because he loves me and he is my redeemer. Then jumping ahead to April, I realized somewhat to my surprise that I had baptism on my heart. And this is not something that I took lightly, and I spent a lot of time in prayer and reflection. And I asked God, I said, "God, if this is from you, give me a sign." And he did, telling me I should be baptized. So I feel personally called to baptism and with this new life that I have in Christ. And reflecting on what this baptism means to me, I have a couple of thoughts that I want to share. First of all, I repent of my sins. I am sorry that I said God was Lord of my life in church and I didn't make him Lord of my life until recently. I was effectively holding on to my life and wanting to be in control of my life. And even though I am a broken sinner, God has just been so faithful and good to me, and he pours out his love into my life and offers me his forgiveness. And then secondly, God redeems my life. I lay down my old life, and this is not of my own strength, but by the power of the cross. My old self is crucified with Christ, and he brings me into newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4 says this, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Now, I have been so changed by encountering God. It's a love that breaks down barriers and changes hearts. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and having this taste of the living water, I realize how desperately thirsty I am and how much I need it. And there is nothing more that I want than to remain in this love. And so I place my life in the hands of God, trusting that he loves and cares for me and that he will provide everything I stand in need of. Thank you.
Shh. shoot, and now I'm supposed to preach. Isn't that marvelous? Wow. Overwhelming. At least I feel that in my soul, and perhaps you do too. A sense of being overwhelmed by an amazing story. But then I also think that somehow Satan also grabs a hold of us and